from the two guys, you know, their own journey of faith and seeing how the Lord would be leading them into this year as they work towards maturity. Very glad for Glenda to share with us about her life over in the States. And anyway, do you know that there was a survey done about the cities in America? And which city is the most so-called Christian, and which city is the least Christian? Okay, and Chicago stands about, out of 100, is about 80-something. So not so good. yeah, precisely. So we are glad that you are back and you are kept, you know. But thank you for sharing, and thank you for sharing that song. It's a wonderful song. I think it's a beautiful song. We'll try and sing it again, whether it's a choir or as a group. Okay. Now, I'm just going to, from what Glenda shared, my heart was challenged as I was interacting with what she was going to share. And also another thing that came up, I'm going to start a, you know, I wouldn't say a ministry, but something that as a young adults we can possibly do. I'm going to call this little group Sons of Encouragement. And I think when we look at people who are there and they need encouragement and to tell them that they are not alone, I think for Glenda, you know, being in the States, and as you said, you know, 80% of the time she's alone. And I think as a young adults, we can do a little bit more to encourage her and to tell her that, you know, we are praying for her, to say that we are supporting you. I know that some of you are doing that, which is good, but I'm just thinking as a group, we can really learn what it means to look out for those who are, you know, in need of encouragement. The other thing that I wanted to raise up was Jolly, who is part of the missions committee, wrote to us a very heartbreaking email. And I think in the newspaper today, you would have seen this. And it's about how there were two missionary ladies. They are from, not from our group, but from another group. And, you know, they were missionary teachers over in the in the Shan State, and they were raped by soldiers, and after that they were killed. Okay, so this was from, you know, Channel News Asia, and of course now they are looking into trying to investigate actually what happened and so on. But my heart really was, you know, broken for them. Because you see how young ladies, you know, giving their lives to serve the Lord, and yet, you know, ending up with this very, very unfortunate incident. And Jolly was writing about how we do have young ladies who are also serving as part of the missionaries that we send. I can have the next picture. Okay, and this was a picture that was, Jolly was there for a while. And these young ladies are some of the ladies that are sent out as missionary teachers. They will go to villages, and they will spend about 3 years there, and they would teach the children, you know, as like a school teacher. But along the way, they will help them to know God a little bit more, to sing Sunday school songs, and so on and so forth. And they are also in danger of such, to me, an atrocity. And you know, my heart was really burdened. You know, this morning when I prayed, as I went down my knees, I began to weep before the Lord. And my heart really went up to them, to others who are serving the Lord and, you know, in need of prayer support, in need of encouragement. And that's why, it, you know, at that point in time, the Lord laid within my own heart to consider, can we do so much more as a young adults group? And my heart, you know, was drawn to Barnabas as a wonderful example of how he sought to encourage others. His name was Son of Encouragement. He encouraged Paul. He went about doing relief work. He introduced Paul to the others. He gave of, you know, his land and so on and so forth for the needs of others. And I think as young adults, as Singaporeans, you know, we are blessed in so many ways. And here you see people who are giving their very lives for the Lord's work. They don't have very much. You know, can we do lots more? Can we encourage them? Can we pray for them? If nothing else, we pray for the Lord's preservation, you know, of their ministry, of their lives. Can we pray for Glenda? Can we support her so much more? And any else, anybody else that come along as part of the church of Bethany, or that they are in need of encouragement. So I'm going to call this group Sons of Encouragement. And those of you who like to be part of this group, you know, it will be a time in which we want to pray, a time when we want to raise needs of concern. It will be a time in which we want to do practical help and support. It could be visiting hospitals. It could be... It was something that I've been toying about for a while already. But I think it's time for us as a young adults group to look beyond ourselves and to do something that can really impact lives so much more. And I think that's something that we want to consider for 2015. And as we think about, you know, the needs that are out there, and they are tremendous. You know, my heart really went out to these ladies who are giving their very lives to serve the Lord. And then they end up in tragedy. And, you know, we really want to pray for them. And I hope that you will really consider this. I will write to, you know, you will be part of a group, and I will write on a very regular basis. And we want to see how we can really, in a very practical way, seek to minister. Okay, before we take up the Lord's word, let's pray. And I would like to pray for Glenda. We want to pray for our brethren over in Myanmar. And we want to support them as they seek to do the Lord's work and whatever endeavors that they have. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray and to come before you with hearts that are burdened. Burdened for souls, burdens for those who are in need of encouragement. We recognize that this world is full of evil, and we recognize how difficult it can be, even as we seek to serve you. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to have a heart to learn what it means to pray and to look to you as the God of angels' army. We want to especially pray for Glenda. We thank you for what she has shared with us. We recognize how challenging it is to be overseas and most of the time alone and doing her work. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to go before her and encourage her heart. Pray as a young adults group, we will endeavor so much more to support her in prayer. Pray for our brethren over in Myanmar. We are indeed heartbroken to hear of those who are serving you and to see how their lives are just taken like this. But we pray, Lord, that we will do our part to pray too and to support them and to really seek to minister in practical ways. We pray that you will continue to preserve our brethren over there and ask that you will bless us even as we seek to study your words together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this afternoon, we are going to go on to chapter 4 in Philippians. Last week, we were looking at how we want to walk as Paul did. I think he is a wonderful example. Many walk as he did, and they become our examples. Yet at the same time, we learn what it means to be citizens of heaven. You know, it's how we want to conduct ourselves in this world that we can be a light. And we're also sharing with you how we want to build good foundations for our lives, that we will be able to then live our lives according to the Lord's ways. Now, as much as we seek to endeavor to live our lives, to walk with the Lord, we got also to recognize that we are not alone. I think one of the wonderful things about being part of the church is to be able to see how we can encourage each other along the way. Now, over the years, I must tell you that Bethany has become a very, very special part of my life. In fact, it is my life. And, you know, I have come to appreciate Bethany far more than anything else in this world. And yet, at the same time, I look at how Paul sought to appreciate the Philippian church and the closeness of relationship that he had with them. You know, that's something that I can identify with. Because that's what Bethany is to me. And you know, Paul and the Philippian church, they had a very, very close relationship. You know, they stood out as a wonderful example. He didn't write the way he did to the Philippian church with all the other churches. You know, this was really a special church. To the Corinthian church, wow, he would give very, very fiery letters. You know, the First Corinthians is very fiery. You know, you see all the, you know, burn marks and everything along the way, and you know, he's very fiery. 2 Corinthians, he kind of like settled down a little bit more. You know, he said, okay, you know what, these are things that you want to be encouraged by. But when he came to the Philippian church, it was such a very intimate, you know, a real great sense of closeness. And I think we can learn from them. I think it's a wonderful, rare example. As I said, many of the other churches didn't have the kind, Paul didn't have the kind of relationship with them. And I think we're all privileged. I don't know whether you recognize this or being part of Bethany. It's a very real, real privilege that we have as brethren to be able to interact and to relate. For instance, between the pastors and with brethren, with the congregation. You know, it's very hard sometimes to look at other churches where you don't have that kind. I mean, I know that some of you have been to other churches. And then it is kind of, you know, the access that you have to the pastors, you know, is something that the brethren there don't have. Right, Jane? I mean, you understand what, you know. Sorry?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, she came from another church before. And so were you surprised when you came here and you saw the kind of interaction that we have as pastors to the brethren?
It is very precious.
Yeah. 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 And you know, it's something that you know, the problem is that we all are here in Bethany so long, after a while, what's that, you know? Until somebody comes in and then say that, wow, you know, you have access to pastor. I mean, I had that privilege all these years that I can come to pastor and talk to him and interact with him. And you know, the kind of a relationship that we can have. And, you know, for Paul, wow, you know, when you look at the way he talks about the Philippian church, that's wonderful. You look at verse 1, and it says, you know, therefore, or so then, brethren, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown. Wow. You know, these are words that you don't normally just say about anybody, right? And, you know, my beloved. I don't know, Moses, do you say this about Ganen? The only thing you say is, hey, switch off the light. Right. And, you know, for Paul to say such things about the Philippian brethren, that's special. That there is a sense of love, the sense of, you know, it's not something that is wrong in any way. There is a sense of cleanness, purity, openness, and it's very evident in how Paul wrote to the Philippian church. And there's such love. You know, for me, I love Bethany. To me, it's, as I said, Bethany is my life, and I love Bethany. I love the young adults group. I look forward to being here each Saturday. Even though I'm pastor, I must say that I enjoy coming. It's not like it's my responsibility or this is my duty. I must preach to you guys. No, I just look forward. I look forward to seeing you guys. I really enjoy what it means to be part of this group and to be able to have the joy of teaching you the Lord's word. And, you know, you are brethren. You are brothers and sisters. And to me, except for one wife, you know. Enough, one wise, you know. No, but either, excuse me, but you know, I can say that this is something that I really enjoy. I love you guys very honestly. With the committee, I've come to appreciate each and every one of them as I serve alongside them, and you know, they have talk to me and come to me with you know, their concerns and problems. And it's my joy to be able to be there with them, pray with them and guide them along their life. And that's something that I've done with many of you too. And, you know, it's just being able to say that we are brethren. I don't know whether you feel this is something that you long for. And you know, each Saturday when it comes, you know, to YAG, you know, it's something that you long for. I long for it. I long to be with you guys, to talk to you guys, to interact with you guys. You know, so this week, some have said, you know, Pastor, I need to talk to you. And I say, okay, fine, let's make time, let's talk. Let's interact. If there are certain concerns, then let's raise them up. You know? I think that's something that we all want. And it's something that we all can find with each other, with the pastors. I'm glad for Sherman. He has come a long way. Right, Zara? And don't you think what he shared was really wonderful? I think in your own heart, you should rejoice. And, you know, for him to share what he did, I thought was really great. You know, and he has, you know, he talks about relating to me. He talks about relating to Pastor Mitch, to Teacher Chung. And then now he's with, you know, Pastor Charlie in his discipleship class. See, he's taking advantage of it. You know, he knows what it means. Yeah, I'm serious. He knows, you know what? Let me learn what it means to reinteract with everybody. And, you know, he's better for it. And he's learning what it means to grow, because each and every one of us can encourage him along the way. And others like Teacher Chung and so on. And I think that's something that we all can learn. It's not just about relating to me. It's relating to Pastor Charlie. It's relating to Pastor Mitch. It's relating to the leaders of the church. And it's relating to each other. Can you say Bethany is my joy? I can say. Nothing else matters in this world. Can you say that Bethany is my crown? My treasure. Precious. No, really. This is something that you really want to be able to say, wow. And the word joy is really the word grace. Right? And, you know, to be able to experience this joy is really through the grace of God. Kara, my joy, my crown, my long-for brethren, my beloved. And I hope that this is something that you can find with each other too. You know, so now we have our discussion groups. I hope that this is something that you will learn to interact with each other, to really to talk to each other, and to be able to find a greater sense of, you know, love for each other. Okay? Now, Paul goes on to say, right, and he says, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Now, the word so is really not the best translation. The word huto, is really in this way, in this manner. So he's trying to say that as much as this is what he regarded the Philippian church to be, okay, he's saying this is the manner, or this is the way in which you must stand fast. You stand fast together. And you learn what it means to not move at all. Okay, the word is stako. Right? And it's actually, this word is actually the perfect form of another word. Okay, histemi. But what it's trying to say here is that it's something that is in a perfect form. It is something that is, you stand fast. you don't move from it. It's a completed idea. I'm not going to move from here. We stand fast together. You stand fast in the Lord. And you know, you stand fast in this closeness. A lot of times, we all tend to assume that things will just go on smoothly. And oftentimes, there's always things that will threaten this. Okay? But it is, you recognize that this is something that is only in the Lord. Okay? Stand fast in the Lord. If you are not in the Lord, then it's very hard to stand fast together. We all need to be in the Lord, in the sphere of the Lord, to abide in Him, to be walking in Him. And then when we are able to relate together, then there's a greater sense of steadfastness. I have stood together and continue to stand together. Okay? This is what we want to do. As we look at this year, you know, we've been looking at this idea of hensoma, meaning one body. And I think this is something that is not just about a concept, but in practical ways. I mean, we are going to go into a building program. And we must stand united. We really must stand united. Because there are times, I've been through two building projects. And I know that there will be challenges. Not everybody is going to really stand together with us. But would you stand together with us? Steadfastness in the Lord. Can we learn what it means as a young adults group to do that? And I firmly believe this. I pray so. And that's something that we can certainly work on. Okay, any questions concerning this? You all agree with me, or you know, I'm just alone on what I'm trying to say? Okay. I hope that we will find a greater sense of closeness together. Seriously. Some of you, you know, I'm closer. Some of you, not as close. But can we learn to find a greater sense of closeness? And the answer is yes. I hope we will. Okay. Now, I think we all are, you know, we recognize that this is something that we all want. But let me say that there's always dangers to this. Don't for a moment think that 100% we're all united. Even within our group and as a church, we are not. We are united, but we are not 100% united. Okay? And that's something that we all need to be concerned about. And would there be threats? Okay? Yeah. As long as there's women, unfortunately. Okay, so Philippian church, now please, I'm not being discriminatory, I'm just stating things as what Paul has written in the Philippian church, and he had women problems. I mean, it's like, okay, so, verse 2, he goes on to say, I implore Euodia, and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind. Again, he emphasizes, in the Lord. Now, the danger. Okay, let's just talk about this. Let's try and speculate a little bit. What do you think? What do you think they had this friction? I mean, let's ask the women. Shalene, what do you think? Sorry. What could possibly be the problem? I mean, we really don't know beyond a certain level. We can only speculate. But what do you think was the problem? What are possible women problems? Oh yeah, I mean, okay.
Speaking from experience, men.
Material stuff. Fighting over material stuff.
Like, who dress better?
Okay, what, envy? That means, what, do you see it as envy or something? Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah, ask the married one. What do you think? Don't know. Gossiping, yeah, you're right. Big problem. When there was once a pastor was telling us, he was waiting in line, and there was these two women right in front of him, and they were just talking and gossiping, and you know, very loudly, even you don't want to hear, you will hear. And they were talking about their pastor. Oh dear. You know, so gossiping. I think that's one of the challenge. Zara, what do you think? Oh, anything. I mean, I understand we are talking about women, but what do you think can cause beyond women? What do you think can cause problems? Human relationships. You're right. You know, one of the most difficult things about life is relationships, and you know, it's so complicated. It can be complicated, and you know. So it's challenging when you don't see eye to eye. You know there are a lot of differences in opinions, preferences, and so on and so forth. It becomes a problem, and I've seen churches fight over the all kinds of things. I mean, sometimes it could be doctrinal things, right? This is a very common issue. Belinda, what do you think? Disagreements over what? Yeah, actually this problem here is really a disagreement, because Paul tells them, right, be of the same mind. And the word here is really the word agreement. To think in agreement is the word agreement. To think of this, to think with the same mind, basically, to have the same mind. And you know, when you have disagreement, yeah. Okay, let's ask the guys very quickly. What do you think, Sherman? What do you think? What do? Don't know. You're a very nice guy. Don't. No, sorry, it's like I mean, we have all kinds of problems. And I can tell you this, a lot of times it is preferences, it is, you know, opinions, it could be all kinds of things. I've known that churches have fought over differing opinions concerning the Bible. You know, some people like to talk about King James Version only and things like that. I've known of, you know, churches where they fight against each other. They sue each other. I've known of a church that's fighting against the Bible College. It has been in the newspaper and so on, because they are fighting over the premises. I know of pastors fighting with each other. And that's a reality. The younger pastors coming up, and you know, they want to do their own things, and in fact they seek to somehow, you know, find a way to do away with the senior pastor. You know, that's something that we all would never want to do. Because it is something, if we have that sense of closeness, we stand together, then these are things that will be avoided. But they can threaten. The dangers are always there. We need to guard ourselves. And that's why we want to have a greater sense of closeness. So later on, when you go into your discussion groups, I hope that it's not just about discussing. I hope that you'll find a greater sense of closeness with each other. How can we develop this sense of closeness? Well, if there's a problem, then let's try and resolve it. So Paul tells, you know, you have this problem. So verse 3, and I urge you also, true companion. Don't know who that true companion, but he is someone that, you know, he's a fellow companion in the Lord, genuine companion. Okay, help these women who labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. You know, Paul got, let's try and resolve. I mean, if there's problems, let's try and resolve it. Let's get people to interact and, you know, let's talk about these things. I mean, I've been to help people resolve things along the way. Can we choose to help? Yeah, why not? Let's seek to do so. Let's learn to labor together. Actually, you know, when you talk about laboring with Paul, it's the word to strive together. They were actually striving together with Paul and being able to work together. But somehow they couldn't just get along. Learn what it means to get along. Learn what it means to relate. Learn what it means to have a good relationship with each other. And, you know, for Paul, for him to do that, that's something that we can learn. And I'm not just looking at, okay, let's just relate to each other. No, I'm looking at how we can find a greater sense of closeness. That there is a great sense of love for each other. I know that we don't have all that we want it to be, but can we work towards it this year? And the answer is yes. You know? Can we find joy as Paul did? Look at verse 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Can we talk to each other with a great sense of gentleness? Yes. Right? To the women, talk to them gently. Right? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. Let's not quibble over things. The Lord is going to come back soon. Why are we quibbling over all kinds of things? You're right. You know, sometimes it's about envy. Sometimes it's about gossiping. Sometimes, you know, I don't like your face. I don't like you. I don't like this. Let's learn to go beyond. There are far more important things in life than to fight over all these kind of small things. I don't know whether I think I mentioned this before. You know, there was once a church that fought over a potato peeler. You know, they were in the kitchen, and you know, the ladies, they all like to meet together and talk to each other as they peel potato. In America, they all like to eat a lot of potato, right? Potato chips and stuff like that. And one of them decided, you know, why don't we get a potato peeler? And some of the ladies say, no, you know, if you buy a potato peeler, we won't be peeling potatoes and we won't be talking and we won't be relating and, in a way, you know, gossiping and stuff like that. But then some of them wanted to buy a potato peeler. They said, no, we want to buy a potato peeler. Well, then after a while, they couldn't agree. Not only that, they got their husbands to stand by them. Okay, you must stand for the potato peeler. And, you know, the other side say, no, no potato peeler. And, you know, after a while, the whole church split. Over what? Potato peeler. What is this? And people fight over the strangest of things. You know, this is something that, of course, we don't have potato peelers. Do we have potato peelers? Anyway, we don't eat very much potato peelers. Right? But the point is that we fight over things that are ridiculous. Churches fight over the most ridiculous of things. So it's very important for each and every one of us to develop closeness. Closeness between me and you. Closeness between you among each other. Closeness with the other pastors. Closeness with brethren in our church. And if we can do that, then we will find that this is the Bethany spirit. United we stand, divided we fall, no, hopefully not. But united we stand. Hensoma, one body. And I hope that this is something that you will learn to develop with a great sense of joy. You know, to me, this is what we can do. I hope that you will consider being part of Sons of Encouragement. That together, let's seek to minister to others. Let's look beyond. Okay? So even as you go to your groups, let's learn what it means to interact. Start up, you know, WhatsApp, chat group, whatever, and, you know, those things. Talk to each other, encourage each other, minister to each other. Keep in touch. Okay? All right, let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we want to pray that you will help us to find a greater sense of closeness with each other. Closeness between the pastors and brethren. Closeness among each other. Help us, Lord, to find a greater sense of love, joy with each other. Recognize that some of us don't know each other well enough. Help us, Lord, to develop a greater sense of relationship. And that we can seek to then serve you and live for you together. Help us, Lord, not to take things for granted. We recognize that there will be threats. The times when quarrels and differences can come into play that may cause this oneness to be affected, this closeness to be affected. And that's only how Satan would seek to do all he can to divide the church. Help us, Lord, to stand fast. To stand fast in the Lord. We pray that you will bless us even as we fellowship over our discussion groups. Bless us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, one of the key things is this word, in the Lord. If we all learn what it means to be in the Lord, you will find this closeness. When you are not close to the Lord, then you will recognize that it's going to be even harder to be close to each other. Okay? Well, let's go into our groups. Now, some of you are new, so you want to just interact with Chinky. What's that? Okay, sorry. One last thing. If you are new and you have not been receiving my weekly YAG Graceworks and so on, or any other email, go and see YC. Make sure that he has your email. Okay? Thanks. Okay. Those in Wei Hui's group, you have me today because Wei Hui is not around. So, please come forward.